Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson, who nearly sneezed all over the microphone then. How you doing, Pete?
I'm all right. I do have dog allergies, and I do have two dogs. I decided yesterday to cut one of their hair. Take one of them in my hand and shave one of them because it's getting warm and they are quite heavy-coated Border Terriers. I'm supposed to strip them, but one of them's getting on a little bit. So I thought, I'll get the old beard trimmers out and give him a little trim. But of course, now my life is just a fog of dog hair. I'm really sniffly and I'm just constantly about to sneeze and the hay fever's on the go. Oh, it's all going off like a frog in a sock, Chris.
Thug Fog. Sounds like some sort of trendy beer brand, some sort of like craft beer. Thug Fog.
It's the final boss in Battletoads, the video game.
Well, speaking of final boss, I put myself through another challenging food culinary experience this week. I did the Monster Ramen Challenge again for the second time with Joey the Anime Man this time. I did it with Natsuki back in 2016, and it was a lot of fun. I lost, unfortunately, spoilers. And so I tried this time to beat Joey the Anime Man and take back my crown, a crown that I never had, admittedly.
A crown of ramen.
And yeah, it was good fun. It was very nostalgic. The ramen shop has changed quite a lot in the 6 years since we did the original video there. It's kind of like the top floor where we filmed it. They had like a tatami mat area that used to be really nice. We could sit there and record. So Joey and I turned up thinking, oh yeah, we'll use the tatami mat area. And we went upstairs and there's just a curtain covering it now. And it's just covered in boxes of crap. So we had to like make do by the window. But the food was still the same. It was still thoroughly average huge ramen. Yeah, thoroughly huge. That was good fun.
I just like the fact that I'm fairly certain I saw on Instagram a picture of you going like this, and it's time to lose the weight. And it just seems to be at the time of the year when you're just doing a lot of food challenges. It's insane.
I don't know what's happened this week, to be honest, Pete. I had the bloody eating all the fried chicken with Connor. I've had all the drinking of the sake and alcohol with Connor. Yeah. And now I've had the Monster Ramen Challenge with Joey. My health must have just gone really quite bad. The cholesterol doubled in one week.
When you're finished with this recording, you're going off to do filming some stuff with a drinks brand. So, lordy, Chris Broad,
doing some sort of sponsored collaboration with Suntory, which is
nice.
Well, people are going to think I'm an alcoholic. And then in next week, I'm going to Kyoto to do something with a gin distillery. What's going on? It's like, it's not like I'm alcoholic. It's just, it's all come together at once. And that's what I'm telling
myself.
Isn't there
a famous gin distillery or a gin brand called Roku Gin and presumably that just means six gin.
I mean, this place is House of Kinobi. It's a British, established by a British entrepreneur, and they've got the most amazing distillery down in Kyoto. And all the ingredients are locally sourced from farmers in the Kyoto region. It sounds like I'm sponsoring it now. The smooth taste of House of Kinobi, when it touches your mouth, it's like magic. But yeah, I'm going down there to drink loads of gin. So
just have a bit of gin. Yeah,
what's
lovely.
Going on? It's my birthday in a few weeks. It's all one big birthday present.
Pray for Chris.
That's right. Pray for Chris. Pray for Chris indeed. We've got a story this week. Usually with Story of the Week, we've blacklisted all stories involving tattoos and hot springs. But this one's quite fun.
Yes.
And doesn't involve a hot spring. It involves just tattoos. And it's from Drew. It says, "Hey, Chris and Pete, I'm currently living in Hyogo Prefecture, getting the full 4D experience as I listen to the podcast while cycling to work. I want to share with you the story of my possible run-in with an old Yakuza member. I don't often play the foreigner card to get away with things, but one thing I did do during the summer is let my tattoo peek out from under my sleeve. Rebel. One day, while shopping for groceries, an old man in his 60s or 70s approached me and with a disgruntled look said, 'Inezumi,' the Japanese word for tattoo. My understanding is that while this term can be used to refer to all tattoos, it's often reserved for Japanese-style or Yakuza-style tattoos. Now, not wanting to cause trouble or offend him, I tried to explain that my tattoos were yombori, Western-style tattoos done by machine, as opposed to tebori, the more traditional Japanese hand-poked tattoos. I tried to tell him I was a dumb American with a silly Irezumi tattoo. At that point, he signals to me to lean in and come closer to him, as if he has a secret to tell me. He then whispers in my ear, 'Watashimo, I do too,' and proceeds to pull back his collar to let me peek down his shirt. Looking in, I realise he's covered head to toe in a full bodysuit. I quickly exclaimed, 'Sugoi, incredible!' And he asked to look at mine, to which I obliged, and he replies, 'Kakui, very cool.' I was so relieved he wasn't there to get on my case about my tattoos. Later, I told this story to my Japanese tutor, who suspects, given his age and the town I'm in, that he was without a doubt a member of the Yakuza at some point. It feels pretty cool to say a likely member of the Yakuza complimented my tattoos. All the best, guys, from Drew." And of course, Hyogo Prefecture is the prefecture where Kobe, the city of Kobe, is, and Kobe is the home to the biggest Yakuza group, the Yamaguchi Gumi. So, yeah, I mean, everyone in Kobe is just Yakuza. So remember that. Man, woman, and child. Yakuza.
Yeah. Anyway, even all the footballers who are playing for Vissel Kobe.
Especially the football players. Oh, Yakuza. That's cool, though, isn't it? Yeah. That'd be a nice little altercation. I say altercation, nice meeting. Just meeting like a Japanese man who's secretly the Yakuza and he's showing off tattoos.
Yeah.
Bit of appreciation. You've never had that with your Monkey Island tattoo, have you?
No, yeah. I mean, surprisingly, a Japanese man's never come to me going, "Oh, kakoi, cool cat in the hat tattoo." I've got one too, and he's got the whole of the green eggs and ham written on his drawn all on his back.
What's the character? Guybrush Threepwood or Guy Thrush? I can't.
No, Monkey Island 2 was the Monkey Island is Secret of Monkey Island. It was the game that was based on the Treasure Island ride at is it Disneyland or Universal Studios or whatever?
I love that one.
And Monkey Island was kind of the inspiration for the film Pirates of the Caribbean, kind of.
Huh.
Now, it was made by Lucasfilm, LucasArts, the Tim Schafer and Ron Gilbert, two very talented video game creators back in the 90s. I just love those games so much. If you've never indulged in any kind of 90s retro gaming, get involved and have a play of Monkey Island 2, which is my favorite one. It came on 11 floppy disks on the Amiga back in the day. So every time you went into a new level, new screen, new location in the game, you'd have to swap the floppy, so to speak,
I remember.
Flop the sloppy.
I do remember, believe it or not.
But the one on my leg is the evil antagonist in the piece called the Ghost Pirate LeChuck. He's an undead zombie pirate, I care for that game immensely.
Wouldn't that be amazing if you met a Yakuza guy in like a hot spring and he's like, wait a minute, Pirate LeChuck, Kaizoku LeChuck. He's like, knows it. A retro gaming Yakuza who appreciates the tattoos.
No one's ever really. I think I was in Lille walking France, around with shorts on in France, and a bloke came over and went, "Oh, I like your tattoo. I love Ghost Pirate LeChuck." And that's it. That's the only person who's ever recognized it as the Ghost Pirate LeChuck.
That's pretty cool. That's good old LucasArt. Lucas Games. They knew what they were doing.
I think LucasArts has come back, actually. I think in the last year, I think they've resurrected it. So maybe we'll see some more. Probably not, to be honest.
Well, that was a lot of fun, that game. But what isn't fun is the news story of the week involving a map. Apparently, there's a map. This is a weird news story. There's a map, right, that's come out that shows you how noisy your neighbours are and how noisy the children are in your local area, right? A new website in Japan has put perpetrators on a map, spurring debate about those who disturb the peace. The website describes itself as a crowdsourced guide to help house hunters avoid neighbourhoods inhabited by stupid parents who let their children play on roads and parking lots. That's in quotation marks. I didn't say that. Residents who find noises unbearable found an outlet on the website which collects anonymous gripes about neighbours and pins every grievance on an interactive map, creating an elaborate record of the irritating sounds and sights of Japan. Apparently, noise complaints have increased in Tokyo, with the police logging a 30% increase between March and April last year. Admittedly, that's when all the schools are closed. So we've solved that case rather quickly. But yeah, apparently complaints are going up. Elderly population, which is basically 60% of Japan, don't like children running around being noisy. So they've got this map now that spoils the fun for everyone. I remember very fondly being a kid and running around, kicking footballs over people's fences. Those were the days. It was a great time. And I think we should encourage kids to be a bit naughty, go out, have fun, kick footballs, be a bit loud. That's sad. And so many parks. There's so many little parks around Japan, and they're always like quiet, and there's not much going on in them. I just don't know if kids have much fun here. And now this map makes me think that's why. What do you make of it all? This sad
map. You do kind of, you know, if you're buying a home, like I guess I am trying to do, God, that's difficult, or doing other stuff. Like if you're moving into an area, you do kind of sort of think, all right, it's not even kid. If anyone has a problem with the sound of children, unless they're like teenagers and they're playing like stupidly loud music or something and just being incredibly terrible, or setting fire to a car or something, like, you know, that's a bigger problem. But it's the sound of children, like, it's fucking great. It makes it's life affirming and crying baby. You know, we've got a couple of dogs in the house, and when they're together, they have a good old howl up every now and again. But I think it's a lovely noise. I enjoy the sounds of other people, unless you know, it's really late and they're playing music really loud. That's why you'd get an antisocial behaviour order against you, an ASBO, as they call them in the UK. But yeah, I think a lot of nosy neighbours sort of going, I don't like that, and I don't like this, and I don't like that. Busybodies, get them off the internet. They don't need to be there.
Well, I'm looking at the map now. It's called DQN.today. And over Tokyo, there's 4,000 of these locations alone that are like noisy. And they've got different tiers. Like, they've got green, yellow, and orange. And if it's orange, God forbid, God help you, it must be noisy. But like one of the most noisy districts, I'm zooming in now on Shinjuku. And it's really interesting. Yeah, they've just basically just got parks, and they've got like comments on there saying this park is rubbish because there's noisy children. A bit weird. But like, I also found another map as well. It's a website called Oshimaland, and you click on that, and that is a stigmatized property map. I don't know if you know, but it's a big deal having a property in Japan where something's gone wrong, like a fire or a death. Because for spiritual reasons, people in Japan don't like to live in a house where somebody just randomly died. And often, remember when I was looking for apartments, I was a little bit on edge because I saw some really nice looking ones that were phenomenally cheap. And they don't tell you. They don't sort of list it and be like, yeah, somebody died here. They don't really tell you.
But I mean, like, if you've got a house over a certain, like, you know, here in England, there's no, unless you've bought a house that was built in the last 20 years, someone's died in the house. Someone has died in your house. It's again, life-affirming thing. We should be celebrating this stuff. It's an honour to live in someone's house where they ended their life, I think, to a certain extent. I don't understand it. I don't understand it.
Well, I mean, if you're wondering why the property's cheap when you move to Japan, and there's nothing that it looks like it's nice, yeah, it's got a nice view,
yeah,
it's got all the good connections to the trains. That could be why somebody died there or something terrible happened.
Died there.
Could be the grudge. Right. Could be the house out of the grudge, Pete.
I remember there was a mass murderer who lived in Crouch End. Can't remember his name. It was an ITV. Yeah, there's an ITV documentary about him, well, sort of dramatization of him with the Scottish bloke who used to play Doctor Who. Piece that one together if you fancy. his house always used to come up for sale. He was Dennis, is it Dennis Nielsen? Would that be Dennis Nielsen or is that an American one? Either way, he's a guy who killed a load of gay lads back in the 90s, I think. Probably a bit early in the 80s, at a time where you couldn't really, to be out was actually quite difficult. Right. So it may have even been earlier than that in the 70s. And he would kill them, put their bodies in the wall and stuff of his apartment and stuff. And his house was always going on sale for like a good 200 grand cheaper than any other house. It was a top level apartment in Crouch End, beautiful part of London.
Yeah.
Really expensive. All the celebrities live there.
It's where Shaun of the Dead is set as well, isn't it? Shaun of the Dead.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. These massive houses. And this guy had killed all these lads back in the day, and the house always used to go on for sale because it would just change hands a lot of the time because people didn't want to fucking live there. But on the advert, I would just say, you should investigate the history of this home before bidding on it.
That's really, so ominous.
Really kind of, yeah, it's horrible. But yeah, there was some unspeakable acts perpetrated in there. But look, you can create your own history in that home. And if you, as long as you're not putting bodies in the walls... Fine, you look fine. It's fine, all right.
Oh man, that's I don't think I could do it. I'm not a spiritual person, but if I knew that something grisly like that had gone on, where many people had been murdered, or even somebody been murdered in an apartment, I don't think I could live there. I feel like I would sit in the apartment, drinking my coffee and eating my fried chicken, and I'd feel something. I'd feel out of place. I feel like it would really get to me just being in an apartment where somebody murdered.
And then a big 6-foot chicken knocks on your door and goes, "How many chicken have you murdered in this flat, Chris Broad? How many chickens have you eaten, you cannibal rotter?"
A 6-foot chicken. Oh, I don't know. I know you like Netflix, but I've been watching a series called Age of Samurai, Battle for Japan. And it's a Netflix docudrama set around kind of the 16th century when Japan really took shape, and it kind of charts the rise of Oda Nobuhide and Oda Nobunaga and Tokugawa Ieyasu. I've always had a bit of I've never really been that interested in Japanese history apart from the sort of 20th century when things got a bit heated. That's an understatement, but like the sort of the more historic aspects of Japanese culture never really appealed to me because British history is so exciting. It's a story of how a bunch of idiots took over the world and stole lots of things, and it's quite a bad story in hindsight, but it's epic. But whereas Japan, it's very much in Japan, it's very much a domestic story up until the late 1800s.
They did right, okay, yeah, okay, fair dues. So no one really traveled back then, did they?
Well, they got on the British Airways flight. I've always been a bit of a snob because of that. But I watched this series, and it was really quite interesting. And since then, it's actually really been a catalyst for my interest in Japanese history. And it's a really good show, actually. They have about 4 or 5 historians kind of talk you through what happened from, I'm going to say, 1551 to about 1650, that sort of 100-year period. The age itself is called, I can't remember the age. It was kind of like the Warring States era when Japan finally had a civil war and came together to be one nation because it was a mixture of lots of different clans up until that point. And I think that's another reason I haven't really been interested in Japanese history. It's very hard to keep up with all the names and all the clans, and literally everyone just betrays each other. There's a battle, someone betrays someone, they take over a bit of land, and then they die, and then they lose it all. And that's the history of Japan for like 100 years. But the way they portrayed it was really good. They kind of got lots of actors, they filmed a lot of battles, they reenacted it, and with the narration with the historians, it really told the story fantastically well. And I highly recommend it. Age of Samurai, Battle for Japan. It's on Netflix. It's really good.
I'm writing that down.
Go and watch
it. Age of Samurai.
Go and watch it.
Samurai, Battle for Japan.
It's better than Unsolved Mysteries, don't worry, Pete. You're going to like this series.
I don't think we ever got to the end of the second series. A lot of all bloody nonsense.
But no, it's a really good series. Check it out. And now we're going to dive into the fax machine. Before that, we'll just take a quick break. Back in a moment.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
This week at Sukarnov.
Over on Clash of the Titles, the gang are counting down to the Oscars with a special month of Best Picture clashes.
Rocky won the Oscar that year. Do you guys think it was a deserving winner that year, or do you think something else should have won?
I think Taxi Driver should have won.
I am with you, Vicky. My heart says Rocky. Rocky's one of my favourite films of all time. I don't like watching Taxi Driver, but it is.
No.
It is.
That's true.
It is amazing.
And that's so true. No one's ever like, oh, do you want a Bosch Taxi Driver?
Or if that doesn't tickle your fancy, and why wouldn't it, check out the Book Club on Football Ramble Presents, where former footballer Ricky Hill discusses the highs and lows of his storied career.
My schoolmaster came in afterwards and said, oh, you know, you've been invited, three of you have been invited for trials up at Luton. And I initially, my thoughts were, where is Luton? I had no idea. and I said, well, I'm not going.
All that and a whole lot more. Sukarnov.
And we're back. What do we got this week in the fax machine, Mr. Dawson?
Oh, we got a message from Dom from the southern coastal town of Bournemouth, a lovely part of the world. The Football Ramble did a show in Bournemouth last year, and it was, I'd never really spent that much time in Bournemouth. Wow, what a beautiful town on a nice sunny day. Hi, konnichi, no, hang on.
Hi, konnichi, what's going on here?
What's that? What does it say at the start of that? What's that one? Konbanwa.
Good evening.
Treat and pissed. Your podcasts helped me take my mind off the dreaded 7 a.m. hour and a half bus commute to college. Wow, that's strong, isn't it? Where do you go to college? France.
College, wow.
Good God. My question is in regards to your English after living in Japan for so long. Have you found your English speaking capabilities have diminished at all over the years, or have you found constantly consuming English media and talking to your Western friends like your beloved co-host kept it relatively stable? That's Dom there in lovely, sunny Bournemouth.
Well,
has your kind of podcast fun with me meant that you speak a little bit more like a northerner at times?
But, I mean, it sounds like your English has gone downhill this morning, judging from how you read the last bloody...
It's Sunday, piss off.
Sunday. Sunday's a day of work. It's the Abroad Japan podcast. I think certainly my first 3 years when I was like in a school and I didn't see any foreigners for many weeks at a time, apart from the Irish guy I sat next to every day. But I don't know what I didn't. I didn't speak as much English as I normally did, obviously, and I didn't consume as much British TV. So yeah, it was a problem. And I did have a lot of time when I'd be like in a room with hundreds of students and nobody would speak English. And I think the one problem is, and this is something that all English teachers have, is they change the way they speak inevitably when you come to Japan because people won't understand. I said before, when I arrived, nobody knew what I was saying because I sort of talked like I am now quite fast. And at the time I was I had a bit more of a working class accent, which I've shed. I used to talk a bit more like that. All right, mate, how you doing?
For your international audience, you've eschewed the fripperies of your Kent upbringing.
Well, 80% of my audience isn't from the UK, so I can't talk the way I used to anymore. Okay. I've had to kind of get this nice voice now. It's still not Connor. It's not C-Dog VA, but...
Hello, I'm sort of from Wales.
Wales. But, so I kind of went... My voice slowed down and I enunciated everything like this for 3 years. I'm going to buy a coffee and a cigarette. It would be like that. And the problem is a lot of teachers finish teaching and then they still talk like that. And I know lots of people here, foreign English teachers who've finished doing that. They graduated from teaching, moved on to other jobs, but they still talk like this as though they're having to pronounce everything very clearly to a classroom of students, and it drives me up the fucking wall. It drives me mad.
It's like like an NHK kind of delivery. That's it how is, everybody talks on those documentaries.
It is. Like, Tokyo, Japan, a city of 36 million people all going about their daily lives. That is NHK world. That's why I hate NHK world. It sounds like a broken American person or somebody from Seattle who's got a gun to their head and they've had to like talk in a happy way. But my English is back now, back with a vengeance. Most of the people I spend time with speak English as a native language. And then there's Ryotaro. Natsuki's maybe an exception to that. But I'm good now. I can speak English words like real good, innit? We've got one here from Eric. Eric from Texas says, good afternoon, charismatic Chris and personable Pete. Personable Pete. What's he on about?
Nice.
After the recent game stonks craze, I thought I'd ask about Japan's investment sector. Have you invested at all in Japan or have plans to? Maybe it's time to renovate some Matia townhouses of your own. Is it even worth investing in Japan with the cryptocurrency craze going on as well? How do people view that? Pete, would you consider investing in Japanese businesses? Find the best monkey zoo in the country and help them out, for example? I'm back again. Eric from Texas. He's back. Presumably we've read out one of yours before, Eric. Welcome back.
Good old Eric. Yeah, I mean, is the Bitcoin kind of craze, the Bitcoin bounce kind of experienced in the cash-based society that is Japan? Is it a step too far for them?
I don't think I've ever seen anything Bitcoin. Actually, that's a lie. There's an ad in whenever I'm in Roppongi in Tokyo. There's a big ad for Bitcoin with a really famous celebrity on. But I don't know anybody here who's ever used a Bitcoin. I don't think I know anybody who's ever used a Bitcoin really, other than to. Right. Buy it and hold on to it until it goes up or down in value. I like that idea, though. Have you invested at all in Japan? Yes, I hold stock in Japan. I'd like to. It'd be kind of cool to own a Kyoto townhouse or something like that. Japanese houses are really cheap. Somebody sent me a link to a website the other day. I don't think it was you. It wasn't you, was it? No. No. My memory's good. So. I have a good memory. All that fried chicken's fried my brain.
Melted your brain.
But like, no, you can buy a house for like $80,000 and it's a decent sized house. Obviously, it's going to not be in Tokyo or anywhere particularly accessible or good, but it's a nice house nonetheless. So you can buy nice houses. But property in Japan is not really an investment because the houses last 30 years and then they're sort of bulldozed. You own the land and it's the land that holds the value in Japan. But even then, that doesn't hold the value either because the population's going down quite fast. So there's plenty of land for everyone going forward. It's complete opposite to the UK, where it's a guarantee.
It's complete opposite to, I guess it's complete opposite to China as well, places like that where you don't own the land, but you own the building.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
And then the economy gets stimulated by just a lot of house building happening. Would you not sort of invest in a home in somewhere like Kyoto, which is a beautiful part of the world at some point during in the future? things will start to open up. People will be demanding homes in such a picturesque town.
I think, yeah, I guess that's the thing. I'm thinking more of Japan as a whole, because while the population is going down in Japan, it is going up in it. It's going up in Tokyo and Osaka and Kyoto and Sendai, all the big cities. So if you buy property there or buy some land there, then that will go up in value. It would be cool, wouldn't it, to own a place in Kyoto. That could be fun. You could buy a matchy townhouse.
Make yourself a little love hotel.
Ooh. Yeah, buy a love hotel. I mean, God, remember what I said earlier about not wanting to live in a house where someone's been murdered. I don't know if I want to live in a love hotel that's been loved in either.
Loved hard and put away wet. Lovely.
I think that's equally as bad. But yeah, I'm looking at doing a video in a love hotel with Connor at some point soon. We're going to try and find a really bad one. Just make a video about how bad it is. That's the premise
the
for the video.
The worst love hotel in Japan. Lovely.
Hotel in Japan. Yeah. We found a hotel.
How would you even found that kind of? How would you find like the worst love hotel? Are they reviewed? Are they peer reviewed? Are they just ones on Google that
you
are
know
just
what?
The worst?
You can find love hotels on Booking.com. Like they're on Booking.com these days. You can actually love hotels have pivoted in the last few years to accommodating foreign travellers. Because it's such a big market, they'd be foolish not to. And so you can now book a love hotel on Booking.com or Agoda or your preferred one. I'm not sponsored by Booking.com. I just love them. They are good. And yeah, you can book them. And they've got reviews. Many of them aren't very well reviewed because they're not the nicest place to stay for several days. Like for a love, I don't think I've ever gone to a love hotel and thought, I want to be here longer than 6 hours. Apart from maybe the one with the guy who'd had the monkey bars in his room the last time I did it 2 years ago. That was really nice. But most, you know, a lot of love hotels are run down. They're from the 80s. The furniture's from the 80s. The bed is from the 80s. The sheets are probably from the 80s, God forbid. And yeah, I don't know. And I found a cockroach in one of my rooms once, and that was the last time I think I've ever been to one. But they are interesting. They are different and they're good for a few hours. But my advice to you guys, if you're looking to save money, there are better places to stay than Love Hotel. Went off on a massive tangent there. We went from investing in Bitcoin to buying a Love Hotel. We got one from Emma. Emma, over to you, Pete.
Emma says, hello, Chris and Pete. My name is Emma from Sydney. My last visit to Japan was 4 years ago with my ex-boyfriend. After listening to the podcast and watching the YouTube videos, I realized it was a lame holiday. We really didn't do anything. My ex wouldn't eat anywhere that didn't have an English menu, and we didn't go out at night. I feel really disappointed that I missed out on so much fun in Japan. Now that we've broken up, I've decided to come to Japan on my own. After listening to the episode with Connor and his host club adventure, I was wondering if males had something cheaper like a snack bar, as the host club sounded so expensive, or should I just get Tinder. Thanks, Emma. Oh, well, it's a very different service, I suppose, isn't it? Internet dating and a host club.
I mean, I've never been to a host club. You've never been, have you? To a boy, like one with those
no,
guys?
No, I mean, I think it would be unwelcome. I've never been a hostess either. I think I'd be unwelcome in both.
I took you to one, although that was more of a snack bar, a little bit of a cheaper one, wasn't it? We did the karaoke
bar, yeah.
We did do that.
Weird.
I think there's better things to spend your money on, to be honest, Emma. Unless you want expensive, superficial relationships where you go in, pay hundreds of dollars for a guy to go, you're nice. Oh, I like your hair. Do you want some more expensive champagne? I'll pour that for you. And can I have one too? Can you buy me one? Yeah, great. That's the narrative of every single host and hostess club. I've just ruined it for you. I'd say, I'm sorry your holiday was bad though. There's nothing worse than going on holiday with somebody who's not adventurous or fun. Isn't that right, Pete?
Correct. I'll eat anything.
Yeah.
I think you're going to go at me there.
No, you're good, I think. You're good. You're good on holidays. You're adventurous. You take me into weird strawberry bars, like the strawberry bar in Sendai that I was too scared to go in, but you led the charge. You went head first into
Tuesday
the bar.
Tuesday night.
Fortunately, all the staff were busy at Bar Strawberry. And I went back and Bar Strawberry's gone. And if you're wondering what Bar Strawberry is, ladies and gentlemen, Bar Strawberry is a snack bar where you sit and they talk to you and pour your drinks and do karaoke.
Well, I didn't know that. I just thought it was a bar. I was like, let's go in here.
No,
I didn't. I don't know what. Useless place.
You knew what it was. You knew it had nothing to do with strawberries. But I'd say to you, Emma, yeah, just come over, get Tinder, go to a few bars, meet some people, have a bit of fun, and make up for the lame holiday. If you never know your luck, if you go to a host club, you might see Connor Sea Dog VA. Never know your luck. Never know. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into Abroad in Japan Podcast at gmail.com. www.thebrewingclub.com. I am going to be on a road trip the next few weeks doing Journey Across Japan 3, The Lost Islands. Hopefully it'll go well. I feel very pessimistic about the production of the series. I don't know why. Why do I feel so pessimistic?
Why? You've got your 8K camera. You've got your little MacBook. What more do you need for crying out loud?
My little MacBook. Your little MacBook. And my rucksack. And my picnic. My little lunchbox. I think it's because of the Cessna. Day one, the first thing we're doing is the Cessna. So that's something that fills me with a lot of dread.
And you'll have a lot of fun. It'll be exhilarating, mate. Absolutely exhilarating.
We've got the itinerary planned out. Like, we know roughly where we're going, like which island and which town. But, like, we don't know what we're doing in each place. And so that's kind of daunting, right? Because it needs to be good. If it's going to be a six-part series and it's just Joey, Natsuki and I sitting in a field eating Kariaga chicken, it's not quite going to cut it, is it?
Natsuki and Joey the anime man just talking in some very deep Japanese, and you're just going, I don't know what they're saying. I think they're slagging me off. They're against me. Everyone's against me. I mean take the example of your most popular video that you released recently, that one where you just sat in your house eating fried chicken. I mean, look, what more do your fans desire? Just you eating fried chicken in a room. So you can just do that again.
It is a sad truth. Yeah. Travel all the way to Kyushu, to the end of Japan, just to eat some chicken in a room. That's what we're going to do if it gets desperate. We've booked a few places. I think we're going to... I won't spoil it. You'll have to watch. You'll have to find out.
Don't spoil it.
Joey, the anime man, hopefully will be coming on the podcast in Pete's place. Hopefully. I haven't asked him yet. I'm just going to stick a microphone in front of him and be like, come on, Joey, be on the podcast. So for the next few weeks, it'll be interesting on the Abroad in Japan podcast. But I look forward to coming back on the show.
Interesting.
And talking to you, Pete, and talking you through everything that's gone on. But for now, guys, as always, enjoy the next few days and stick around for the next episode. And have a good one. I guess that's it, isn't it? Wish me luck, Pete, and that Cessna.
That was a long leg.
I'm anxious.
I'm really nervous about this Cessna.
I'm nervous.
Your brain's gone to absolute rot.
I'm scared. Bye for now, everyone. Have a good one.
Bye.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.